Good morning again, May 31st. Good to have everyone with us. We were hoping to be live streaming this morning, and we didn't quite get our ducks in a row. So Lord willing, you can check back with us next Sunday. Our hope and prayer is that we'll have everything working correctly to be able to kind of bring you right into the sanctuary live on Sunday morning. Actually, we are opening our church for very modified worship service this Sunday with county and state permission. So it's going to be a very different looking service, but we're going to be here and we're going to worship the Lord together right through the masks that we're required to wear in Santa Barbara County. You know, there is so much that's changing all around us and has been changing for so long. And I got to tell you, we need God in the midst of it all. So before we even dive into the message, let's take a moment and pray together. God, we thank you as always for your presence with us. There's never a time that you go on vacation or that you're asleep or away from the phone when we call. God, you are awake and aware and present, and you hear the prayers of your people. And so, God, we lift our voices to you together right now, and we thank you for this opportunity to gather and to look into your word and, Lord, to seek you and your leading for our lives. And pray that you would help us to glean from your word today what you need for us to learn and to apply, and, God, that we would also seek to glorify you as we study it. And we just ask your blessing on our time in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, things are changing. Things are changing, right? So much is changing all around us, and that's nothing new, honestly. Things have changed and continue to change, really, throughout our lives. Doesn't matter how old you are. Just think back over your lifetime and how much has changed in the course of your lifetime. If you are in that group that was born in or around the time of World War II, you've seen some significant changes in your lifetime. Computers have completely come into being during your lifetime and gone from being a computer that weighed, 30 tons, ENIAC weighed, 30-ton computer that probably took up a room, I don't know, maybe the size of our sanctuary here, down to the computer that you're probably holding in your hand or putting in your pocket or your purse there, your cell phone, which has more computing power than the computers that put astronauts on the moon all those years ago. So we've seen computers continue to exponentially kind of grow and unfold. There have been changes in sports, changes in what actually constitutes a sport as you watch the Olympics and see the different things that are included and changed. Let's see, changes in transportation, the speed at which we travel, the means by which we travel. Really, even just in recent days or weeks, we've seen so much change, right? I mean, it was just yesterday that we again got to see astronauts launched to the International Space Station aboard an American rocket taking off from American soil. That's something we haven't seen in over a decade or thereabouts. And, of course, everybody's mind, the coronavirus, that's brought a lot of changes into our lives these last several weeks. You know, it's not even that things keep changing in the world around us. They do constantly. But even in those smaller circles, things continue to change. Things change in the church, certainly. Church looks a lot different today than it did a few months ago before the coronavirus hit. Everything looks different. Now, depending on the kind of change we're talking about, or maybe even who you're talking about regarding the change, change can be considered either positive or negative. Some changes we regard as good, some changes we regard as not so good. And sometimes, especially if it's a change we're not all that excited about, that's usually where nostalgia kicks in, right? I just want it to be the way it always was. I just want things to go back to the way they were. Do you remember way back when, in the good old days, when things were like this, right? And it's tempting, I think, a lot of times to just want to see everything stay the same. But whether we want things to change or not, change is part of life. It's just part of our everyday life. So the question for us then becomes is how do we best navigate the changes in our lives? Whether it's in our world, our culture, our society, our community, our church, our families. How do we navigate change in our lives? Especially right now, as we're slowly starting to come out from under some of the coronavirus restrictions, what do we do when the new normal isn't? Nothing's normal right now, so what do we do? This morning, what I'd like for us to do is I want us to remember a few things. As we look into Scripture, into God's Word, I want us to look at and remember a few things that can help us have confidence as we navigate the new normal, as we make our way through these changes. We're going to look at a handful of passages in our study together this morning, and we're going to see first that while everything does change at some level or another, we are loved by and follow a God who never changes. God never changes. Second, for as much as we might say from time to time that we don't like change or we don't want things to change, we must change. We need to see that as believers, people who have put their faith in Jesus for forgiveness of their sins and eternal life, they have already changed. God has changed us, and He continues to work His changes in us throughout our lives. And then finally, we'll consider just a few pieces of practical biblical advice on how to face change in life as we navigate the new normal. So let me get us started with a question about navigation, okay? How do you navigate from one place to another? How do you get from where you are to where you want to go? I'm not talking about the means of transportation, but how do you figure out how to get from where you are to where you want to be? Generally, you have to have a fixed point of reference. Now, most of our phones have GPS navigation on them. Some of your cars may have that built in. Before that, it was those maps that were impossible to fold and put back into the glove compartment. Maybe you're a backpacker type person. You even know how to use a compass. Thing is, you have to have a fixed point of reference. GPS navigates via satellites, geostationary orbit. They are fixed locations over our planet, and they know kind of the terrain, and so they can track your location relative to everything else on the planet. A compass points north. It can show you what direction you're heading. A map, you find your location on it. You find that fixed point in your frame of reference there, and you can navigate somewhere else based on that. Whether it's navigating from north, navigating by the stars, navigating from your home, you have that fixed point of reference to help you get to where you need to go. When Julia and I first were married, we lived up in the Bay Area of kind of north central California, San Jose, and I can very distinctly remember when we got married, came home from our honeymoon, and I had to go right back to work, and she had a few months before she had anything going on that took her too far out of the house. Well, as a paramedic, I worked 24-hour shifts, so I'd go to work, and she wouldn't see me till the next day. And she would tell me as I'd come home her zone familiarization exercises. She would leave the apartment and count kind of how many right turns or left turns she had made and watch for kind of visual cues, and gradually her circle navigating out from the apartment got bigger and bigger. No GPS, nothing in those days. I think we had a Thomas Guide, one of those maps, but, you know, she just had to kind of figure it out. And so home, the apartment, that was her fixed point. And she kept navigating out further and further and making sure she could navigate her way back. You know, that same kind of a thing, that truth that we have to have a fixed point of reference to be able to navigate, that's true in our Christian lives as well. That is true in a life of faith. We need to have a fixed point of reference for our faith as we seek to navigate life, a fixed point that doesn't change. And here it is. There is a fixed point. Everything else in your world may change. Here's one thing that never changes: God. God does not change, ever. I'd like to invite you to turn to our first passage together. We're going to be in a few of them. So if you take a Bible and open it to the book of Psalms, right about the middle of your Bibles there, longest book of the Bible, 150 chapters, Psalm chapter 102, Psalm 102. And I want to look at a couple of verses getting towards the end of the chapter there, verses 25 and 26. So Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, actually. Follow along as I read those for us. Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Even they will perish, but you endure. And all of them will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. You see, God has been there from the beginning. Matter of fact, I think it's fair to say God was there before the beginning because God's the one who began everything. The book of Genesis, if we were to look all the way back to the beginning of your Bibles, informs us how the universe came into being. It was God who created it all from nothing. He brought it into existence by the power of his spoken word. And it all has endured for thousands of years now, but Scripture tells us that it won't endure forever. If we were to jump from Genesis all the way to the other end of your Bibles into 2 Peter and Revelation, you find references in those books saying that the heavens will pass away with a roar and the earth will be destroyed by fire, but there is coming a new heaven and a new earth. See, things change. Even the things that we look at as having endured for thousands of years, those things change. But for all that change, God never changes. He remains the same, the psalmist says, and his years will never come to an end. All of the stuff around us changes. I mean, eventually everything kind of in our earthly frame of reference here is going to perish. It'll wear out. It wears out like old clothes or like your old car or your old TV set, and it gets disposed of and it goes away. But God never changes. That fact alone, I think, should give us confidence to navigate the new normal that we find ourselves in right now. The knowledge that God never changes. Even though everything else does, God never does. Not only is God changeless, he is also sovereign. That is, he exists kind of as ruler over everything. That should give us some confidence as well. Let me invite you to turn to our next passage now, which you'll find in the book of Isaiah. So if you keep going towards the back of your Bible from Psalms, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, you get to the book of Isaiah, and chapter 46 is where I'd like to take you. Isaiah 46, and let me read for us here verses 9 through 11. Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. And you can see there's just a little bit of overlap there between what Isaiah says and what the psalmist said in Psalm 102. We're invited to remember the things of long ago, certainly including the fact that God is our creator and the creator of everything we see. We're reminded here in Isaiah that God is unique. There is no one like our God. Matter of fact, there is no other God, no one who can match him at all. But we read, too, that God is sovereign. He's the one who declares the beginning from the end. He's the one who sets the parameters on time. Not only did he create everything, he will also be the one to declare when everything will come to an end. And he alone is the one who knows when that's going to be. As you look back through the pages of the Old Testament, you see time and again where God has brought some prophecy regarding what was about to take place or what would take place even years, centuries in the future. We see prophecies about what was going to happen with the nation of Israel. Certainly prophecies from the Old Testament about God's promised Messiah, the one who would come to deliver the world from the consequence of their sins. And we see that person in Jesus Christ showing up some 700 years or more after the latest prophecies regarding his coming were made. We even see prophecies about what is still yet to come from our 21st century perspective, the end things that will take place as the Lord returns. You see, God is sovereign. God is the one who has ultimate authority and power. He has the ability to do whatever he pleases, whatever he purposes to do, he does. He'll do it. No one can stop his plans. Nothing can keep him from fulfilling what he chooses to do. So if we're going to navigate this new normal that we find ourselves in, it's necessary that we remember we have a fixed point to navigate from. Our changeless, sovereign God. He is the one who never changes. Okay, so that helps us to face the changes, I think, somewhat, but it still doesn't incline us to want to change, right? There's some things that we just would rather see not change. But see, here's the next thing that we need to remember, that Christians have already changed. It's not just the changes ahead that we need to be thinking about, it's the changes behind us that we need to remember as well. Christianity, faith in Jesus, involves change. It just comes with it. Being a Christian is all about change right from the start. We change from the inside out. We change as we begin to trust in Christ. Our lives begin to change by virtue of that relationship that we begin with God. And it continues then as God helps us to become more and more like the example we see in Jesus. Our lives change. If you have put your faith in Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, for salvation and eternal life, if you have believed in him, then you are a Christian. And if you are a Christian, then you have already changed in so many ways. Turn with me now to the book of Ezekiel. You just keep working your way towards the back. You get past Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel comes up shortly after that. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verses 26 and 27 read this way. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You see, without Christ actively working in our lives by his Holy Spirit, what happens is our hearts are or become calloused. They become hardened by sin. We do so often what comes naturally to us, whatever is right in our own eyes, whatever we decide feels good in the moment. And we don't want anyone else telling us how to live generally. We would rather just do it our way. We can be a very stubborn people and think to ourselves, you know what? I'm self-sufficient. I've got what I need to take care of my life here. I don't need God or anyone else telling me how to live. I'm going to do it my way. And unfortunately, there's so many people who are lost in that unbelief. Their hearts are hardened by making those choices and ignoring what God has called them to do, choosing to go their own way, neglecting God. But when Christ is allowed to work within us, our hearts are transformed. As he said there again in verse 26, he said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove that heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Christ gives us a new heart, new attitude, not one that is hard and inclined to go our own way. When we come to faith in Christ, when we confess our sin and acknowledge the wrong things we've done and trust in Jesus for our forgiveness, our heart is softened, and our heart begins to possess the ability to respond to Him. Finally, when our hearts are transformed, we're empowered to live for God. That's what Ezekiel said there in verse 27, that I'll put my spirit within you and I will cause you then to walk according to my statutes, my laws, my rules, my commands. You see, if you've put your faith in Jesus for salvation, you've already changed. You are not the person you were before you confessed that sin to God and acknowledged how much you needed His forgiveness and His offer of salvation. When you put your faith in Christ, you received a new heart. Not a heart transplant physically, obviously, but a new heart in terms of your ability to interact with, relate to God, and receive and respond to the things that He calls you to do. That change in the past, that's what helps us to change in the future. You know, another area of change that believers have already experienced is found in the New Testament book of Ephesians. So keep going towards the back of your Bibles there, probably about 80% of the way back, you'll find the book of Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, it's one of Paul's letters. We've spent some time there before, I know. But Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about what he kind of describes as the old self and the new self. Looking at us kind of before and after pictures of what it is like in coming to faith in Christ. You see, our old self, our old life, that was marked by, poor thinking, lack of understanding of what was really true or what was important to God and how we ought to be living. In contrast, what Paul does in Ephesians here is he assures his readers, look, you didn't learn Christ that way. You've been taught the truth in Christ. So take a look here, Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 22 through 24. Paul says, you were taught that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Paul begins by telling us what we are supposed to do with the old self. And what he's talking about with that old self is basically life before Christ. It's life BC. It's life before any of us put our faith in Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. Before that time, each of us was stuck. We were stuck in sin. We were wrapped up with the world's concerns, and we were without eternal hope. We had no assurance of salvation, heaven, or anything. Our old self, Paul says, that's the self that fit that old way of living much better. Paul uses the imagery here of basically changing clothes to express what we're to do spiritually. He says, spiritually, we've been taught to put off that old self. Take it off and get rid of it. Our old way of living is to be taken off completely and discarded. We need to make a radical break from our past and just cut that off and say, that was before, I'm not going to live that way anymore. See, that old self was being continually corrupted over and over and over again. It's rotting, it's rusting, it's deteriorating. Paul says, put off that old self. Take that off and discard it. Furthermore, he says it's full of the lusts of deceit, those self-centered desires that deceive us because they promise joy, but they fail to deliver it. They don't provide the joy that they promise. And that could be any number of things. How many different things in our day-to-day lives do we look to give us some measure of joy, right? And it's not that we can't enjoy things, we do. But if we're looking for kind of ultimate fulfillment in things like cars or houses or paychecks or relationships or the latest toy or drugs or alcohol or whatever it is that we think, you know what, that will give me the fulfillment that I'm looking for. If we look to any of those things to make us truly happy, we've been deceived. We've been deceived. They can't deliver on that promise. And that's the old self. That's what we are to shed, what we are to take off. Like dirty clothing, you put it off and you get rid of it. We're not supposed to keep picking it up and changing back into it periodically. They're to be gone and thrown away. But you noticed Paul didn't just stop there. He went on to say that we need to be changed, that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, he said there in verse 23. Instead of being marked by corruption, we're to be continually renewed, perpetually renovated in mind and in spirit. Focus our lives on God's will for us. We need to pattern our behavior after what we see modeled for us by Jesus. We need to seek to read and apply God's word to our lives as he helps us to understand it. And spiritually here, it works very much the same way it does physically. I have no doubt, like me, you have some grubby old clothes, right? Those are the ones that you put on your day off when you're out working in the garden, mowing the lawn, changing the oil in the car, painting the house. You know the ones I'm talking about, the jeans that stand up by themselves in the closet, the t-shirt that has more stained spots than clean spots. Maybe some of those clothes have more holes than they do cloth. I don't know. They're your grubbies. They're the things that you just get dirty in. And you take those off. And you hit the showers, and you wash away the dirt and the grime of that activity, and you're renewed. You're clean. You feel better. And then you put on clean clothes, something fresh. And now you're clean, and you're ready to be seen, right? That's where Paul finishes up here in verse 24. He says that we put off that old self, we're renewed in the spirit of our mind, and then we put on that new self. Verse 24, he said again, put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and the holiness of the truth. The new self, that is the direct opposite of the worthless old self. It's not the former nature kind of refurbished and fresh coat of paint and, you know, trotted back out as gently used or something like that. It's brand new clothing here. He's talking about something that is a totally new creation. It's not taking the old clothes and stitching them up and putting them back on. It's all brand new stuff. The new self has been created in the likeness of God, in the likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be righteous the way he was righteous. We are intended to be holy the way Christ was holy. We are to put off the old self, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and put on the new self created to be like Christ. As we navigate the new normal, we need to remember these things. We need to remember that God doesn't change. And secondly, we need to remember that we have already been changed. So now let's finish up with just a few practical suggestions on how we are supposed to face change. How are we supposed to face the changes going on in our world and all around us? I mean, again, change is inevitable. It's going to come. There's no way around it. In nearly every area of life, things or something will change, whether we want it to or not. And we will all face changes even as we live for Christ in this world. There's a lot of things that we can learn from Scripture to help us. How do we face change? Let me suggest just three ways, three things that we can do to face change. First, God calls us to stand firm on His Word. If you were with us last week, we spent some time in Ephesians here in chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, where Paul talked about God's strategy for the struggles that we all face in life. The strategy was simple: stand firm. Stand on the truth of God's word. Stand in the strength of God's spirit. Stand on the truth of who God is and what he's called you to do. Stand firm. He's given us what we need as a foundation to stand firm on. God has given us everything we need to stand firm, but he's also given us the choice. We have a choice of standing on the shifting sand opinion of man's word, or we can stand firm on the rock-solid foundation of God's word. It's our choice. So stand firm on God's word as you face changes in life, because like God, his word never changes. Secondly, I would say we're called to face the changes that we face in life with an attitude of love. One last passage I'd take you to, if you back up just a little bit towards the front of your Bible there, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In Paul's letter to the Corinthian church here in 1 Corinthians 13, he writes a lot about love and the excellence of love. And he talks about how you could do all of these wonderful things that God provides for his followers to do, but if you don't have a spirit of love, they mean absolutely nothing. And he goes on in the middle of the chapter to define love, how it's kind and patient, and it's not arrogant or boastful. And he spells all of those things out, and he says that love never fails. And then as he gets towards the end of the chapter, he talks about how much of the things that we know and see in this life, even things that we experience in our Christian walk in this life, so many of those things will ultimately as well pass away. The one thing that never will is love. The very last verse of 1 Corinthians 13 is what I wanted to kind of hang up things on here. 1 Corinthians 13:13, Paul says, "But now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." You see, while we stand firm on God's word in the midst of changing times, we need to do so in love. Faith, eventually, we won't need faith. When we enter into the presence of the Lord, there will be no more faith needed. It will be living by sight. Hope, that's what we have, that confident expectation of one day being with God. When we're with him, that hope won't be needed anymore. But love will always be there. Our love for God, and certainly God's love for us. Finally, we should face change knowing that the changeless God is always with us. And that brings us right back around to where we started. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, the writer, the author of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 5, he reminds us that God will never leave us, that God will never forsake us. No matter where you are, no matter what changes you're going through, remember that God is always there for you. He is always there waiting for your prayer. He is always there bringing about his perfect will. So stand firm on God's word as you face change in life. Face the change with an attitude of love, and face the change remembering that the changeless God is always with us. Navigating the new normal. It's a challenging way to live. But honestly, we can't escape it. So how do we face changes? It's a matter of focus. Choose to pursue the changeless God in the midst of our changing times. It's really that simple. Just choose to pursue the changeless God in the midst of our changing times. We're all facing changes right now. Every single one of us. Some of those changes are personal. Some of those changes are work-related. Certainly some of those changes are health-related. We're facing changes in our country. We're facing changes in our community. And change can be scary. We are living in strange times, to be sure. But we can all face these changes with confidence and with strength in the Lord as we choose to pursue the changeless God in the midst of these changing times. Let's close with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you that you promise to always be there for us, to be there with us. And God, beyond that, to know that you are consistent. You never change. You are the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. And that should give us confidence and hope. Lord, you are the fixed point in our lives. And you desire to be that fixed point that we look to always. Help us, God, to seek to pursue you, the changeless God, in the midst of these changing times. To remember, God, that you will see us through according to your perfect will. And God, we will draw on your strength for that, and we will praise you for that as well. In Christ's name, amen. Well, again, thanks for being with us this morning. Like I say, Lord willing, we may have something a little bit new and different next week if we can get the live stream up and running. But either way, we'll see you back here to spend some more time in God's Word together. God bless you and have a great week.